Once again, our gospel lesson from the first chapter of John, which you find on page 966 in your pew Bible. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, you teach us the song of reconciliation, just as you reconciled the world to yourself through the obedience, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So we are called to reconcile one another. Bless us in this endeavor, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, there are some songs that you just can't get out of your head. How come? Well, it's because of something called processing fluency. It's a technique that the Apostle Paul uses in the second lesson that you just heard read a few moments ago. And some songs are just burned into our memory. They are impossible to ignore or avoid. How about this one? Can you hear it? All right. That's enough. I went to Disney World. I could not get that song out of my head for months. Maybe Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead is another one. Or how about Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men? What is it that makes those songs so viral and addictive? Well, focus on the lyrics. After studying every pop hit since 1958, researchers have discovered that a song's popularity is tied to the simplicity of the lyrics and how often they are repeated. They are finding that the human brain has a weakness for plainness. Researchers use a theory in psychology to explain this. And as I said, it's called processing fluency. The theory says that people are more likely to engage in behavior that is simple and easy to do. Makes sense, I think. In a nutshell, human brains get really jazzed about things that are easy to grasp. Processing fluency explains the success of simple designs like the rounded corners of an iPhone. It reveals why we prefer directions printed in a font that's simple rather than complicated. And it explains why we can't get a chorus like "It's a Small, Small World" out of our heads. The Apostle Paul was ahead of his time in employing processing fluency, and we see it in 2 Corinthians in our second lesson for today and the text for this sermon. And in this text, he is singing a song of reconciliation. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So in those brief verses, reconciled, reconciliation, reconciling, reconciliation, be reconciled. Simple words repeated frequently. My friends, at the very heart of the Christian faith is reconciliation. Reconciliation of people to God and people one to another. Paul drives this point home through simplicity and repetition. But what exactly is reconciliation? The interesting thing about the word reconciliation in ordinary Greek usage is that it's not typically a religious term. Rather, it is a word drawn from the sphere of politics. It refers to dispute resolution, if you will. So one could speak of the diplomatic reconciliation between warring nations, or in the sphere of personal relationships, the reconciliation of an estranged husband and wife. The Apostle Paul says that God reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has worked through Christ to resolve a dispute with us, repairing the relationship that had been broken by sin and disobedience. The work of reconciliation was started by God, and now you and I are challenged to offer a ministry of reconciliation, resolving disputes between individuals, between communities. We do this using practices that show unity and love, mercy, forgiveness, and a self-giving grace that the world could not even dream of apart from Christ. This is a message that the highly polarized and fractured Christian community in Corinth needed to hear, and it's a message that we need to hear as well. Today we struggle with many of the same issues that afflicted the Corinthians, such as problems of doctrine and vision. And according to Professor of History Gary Wills, problems of class, of gender, of personalities. In the face of such problems, we need dispute resolution. We need a song of reconciliation. Today, this song is being sung in churches around the world. For instance, in Berlin, a congregation called Reconciliation Parish, sits right next to a fragment of the old Berlin Wall that once divided both city and members of this congregation. Since the fall of that wall, the church has worked to bring former enemies into dialogue with one another, working hard to resolve disputes between individuals. Reconciliation Parish has hosted conversations between former members of the East German secret police and their victims. Their late pastor, Manfred Fischer, found that victims are keen to forgive and willing, but first there needs to be honest and open words such as, "I am sorry," or "I acted in the wrong way." There can be no reconciliation with God or with other people without that kind of open and honest word. Overcoming alienation and establishing new and peaceful relationships is best done through conversation, confession, and forgiveness in a safe and hospitable Christian community, one that's grounded in the reconciling work of God. Reconciliation always begins with what God has done through Christ, establishing the new creation that Paul talks about in our text, in which Christ's love governs every perception and action. Promoting reconciliation is at the top of the agenda of many faith leaders in our Nashville communities as well. Just last week, we lifted up in prayers here at First Church the Reverend Dawn Bennett as she was ordained at Christ Lutheran Church. Several of us from First attended that worship service, that ordination, and I must say it was one of the most inspiring worship experiences I have ever been a part of. Pastor Dawn has been called to lead a new worshiping community called The Table. The Table has been organized to minister to members of the LGBTQ community and especially to those who have been alienated or marginalized from the church for one reason or another. It is to be a safe place for God's people, whatever their sexual orientation, to worship and fellowship together without judgment or fear or recrimination. Pastor Dawn has a long and difficult road ahead of her, but later in March, she's going to come and share the story here with you, both in the pulpit and during our Bible study session at 8:30. We stand together that way with our brothers and sisters in Christ at the table in this task of reconciliation. Where do you see a dispute that needs to be resolved? Perhaps with your spouse, with a family member, with a friend, with a fellow church member, with a group in the community. We need to sing a song of reconciliation today because we are hurting from division as individuals, as a church, as a country, as a nation, and as a world. Reconciliation happens when we speak open and honest words, which in turn lead to new and peaceful relationships. Disputes are resolved when we offer and accept forgiveness based on the work that God has done in Christ for us. Reconciliation happens when we show each other love and mercy and a self-giving grace. This work can be done in our personal relationships, in groups here in our congregation, and in our increasingly diverse communities and in the world around us. My friends, reconciliation is a song that should be inescapable in the Christian church, impossible to avoid or ignore. So, Let's sing that song together. Keep it simple and repeating it as frequently as we can. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able. We'll sing our next song.